Pyramid Lake Reservation, Nevada was a very quiet place where locals kept to themselves and handled their own. It came as a shock when authorities were called to check out a vehicle. Two officers from Indian Affairs found a dirt-covered Ford Ranchero with the driver door hanging open. The vehicle looked like a homeless drunk had been living inside. Using their weapons to move aside clutter, they came across two guns, a .22 and a rifle. They also found a bucket that contained something brown and bulbous. One of the officers poked it with his gun barrel and realized it was a liver. They also discovered bloody handprints on the door when they slammed it shut. The officers were deeply disturbed now. Suddenly, the screaming from someone being tortured pierced the night. The officers raced towards the screams. There was a man standing on the beach, arms outstretched, with his head tipped back, baying like a wolf. The man was naked and covered in blood. The officer said, "Sir, sir, stop. You're safe now." The man locked eyes with the officers and bellowed, "Safe? Not safe. Isn't over. It isn't ever over." Ever since the 1940s, they've been going on. 30 years. They're still out there. They're still doing this to me. They poison me. My heart. They poison my heart. The officers dragged the blood-covered man like a rag doll toward the car. They asked him questions but got no answers. That is, until one asked, "Whose blood is this?" The man wailed, "It is my blood. It is leaking out of me. The UFOs did something to my skin, and now blood is leaking out of me."
Happy New Year, bitches. We're back!
It's evil! Don't touch it!
It's alive!
I like you.
They're coming to get you.
By the power of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Hello Mr. Fancy Pants. From the opening, this we're just coming in hot this year. We're coming in hot.
yes we are
screaming right in there. I am Spar. Zach, how are you doing, my man?
I am squeamish. How are you?
It's gonna get worse before it gets better. Lindy, how are you doing?
I am good. I am really good. Excited to make all of you vomit today. So
let's rock and roll.
Could I get a bucket?
It might be a good idea.
Make sure it ain't a leaky one.
Motherfucking Todd. Back for an episode. Probably gonna regret that as this goes on.
Hey, choices. You made them.
Yep.
How are you, Matt? You doing all right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't wait for this one.
You can't?
I can't. I think I'm going to make it. I think I'm going to pull through, power through. Or I might have to take a break. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Well.
Peanut butter covered.
I had to take a break during the book, so.
Wow. If you had to take a break, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get rough. It's coming in hot and dry, I feel.
Let's not beat around the dead body, Lindy. What are we talking about today?
Can. Let me pull the trash can a little bit closer, okay? Now I'm nervous.
I'm going to wait to tell everybody what we're talking about. You'll know within the first sentence of the opening or of the story. So.
Okay. Well. Let's get this shit over with.
Everybody ready?
Mm-hmm. No.
On May 23rd, 1950, Richard Chase Jr. was born.
Oh, that fella.
I have no clue who this person is, and yet I'm still queasy already.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Chase Jr. was born to an overdramatic Beatrice and abusive Richard Sr.
Beatrice... So his dad was a dick? Okay, I'm just all right.
And his mom was...
A Beatrice?
Yeah, a Beatrice.
The first box has been checked.
Yes. Beatrice loved to accuse Richard Sr. of infidelity, drug use, and of poisoning her. Oy, 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 oy. Richard Sr. used violence to try to control his wife's extravagant outbursts. Little Richard felt like the constant, well, little Richie felt the constant criticisms from his father and crushing oppressive interest from his mother. She hovered over him and pushed all of her delusions right onto him from day one.
We haven't heard this sort of thing before, have we?
Never. Yeah.
This isn't a recipe for disaster or anything.
Check.
Yeah. Richie was developmentally stunted and was quiet and uninterested in life outside of his home.
Check.
Well, apparently, even if you hate each other, but you live in really, really close quarters, like a one-room apartment, you still get frisky. Beatrice got pregnant again in 1954. Richard Sr. got a new job opportunity, and so the family was able to move and move up in life. So they moved to Sacramento and into a house. B
was
didn't
on the
like...
side. To a deluxe apartment in the sky.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to have that in my head all day.
Mm-hmm. B was not fond of change, and she became abusive towards Richie also, although this was more in the mental and verbal capacity than in the physical capacity like Richard's was. The house was near enough to other families, but also close to the woods, and Richard Sr. hoped to take his son out hiking on the weekends so that they would both be able to escape B. But with all the fighting, that never happened, and Richie started fleeing to his room at the first shout or slammed door. He was actually very, very afraid of loud noises.
You can't blame him. Old Beatrice was like a 15-year-old boy. She just wanted to beat that dick. And sorry, I smoked.
What does any of this have to do with gay porn?
Well, Richard Sr. had enough when Pamela was born, and he set a new set of rules into the house about home life, which B actually was surprisingly happy to abide by. There was no more shouting, there was no screaming, there was no accusations. There, yeah, he brought out the chancla. And life seemed to be going good. Richie started school and he did really well. He made acquaintances and he started venturing out to the neighborhood or to the woods, but still always alone. He never took anybody with him. And with his parents basically ignoring him now because of the baby girl, he stopped wetting the bed and started pursuing his own interests like killing cats and playing with their corpses.
Wait a minute. Do you say like other interests like what?
Mm-hmm.
Those are interests.
It's what gets you to stop wetting the bed. You need responsibilities, and his responsibilities became.
So this is where I have to tell everybody that I'm really sorry. This episode contains a lot of animal death.
Beth, don't listen to this one.
And then it doesn't get better.
It gets a lot worse. A lot worse. A whole heifer size worst. B caught Richie hiding a dead cat in the garden one evening when he was 10. And the discovery that her son was the cause of the missing cats around the neighborhood basically caused her to snap and go back to her old ways. So in response to B's actions, Richard Sr. also returned to violence.
Oh, great.
Yes. B started stalking her husband at work. Richard couldn't take it anymore, so he took her to a psychiatrist.
There's no more slapping her in the face.
Beating the children is completely okay, but once you start talking back to me like that, then maybe we need to take you a shrink.
I feel like I'm reliving my first marriage.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I mean, I hate to admit that, but go. Carry on.
Okay.
So the first psychologist that Richard took B to was he was able to help her a little bit, but he also realized that she was lying about what was happening in the home. And that psychiatrist said to Richard, listen, she needs to go to a better facility, one that can help her more, one where she actually has to stay for a little while so that she can get over these things and stop blaming everything on everyone else. And this is in the 1950s. So there was still a great deal of, what's the word I'm looking for?
You need to lock her up and ram the dildo in her. That'll fix her.
Yeah, well, there was still a lot of speculation.
Like social stigma with that sort of treatment.
So Richard was still having to try to figure out what he was going to say to neighbors about where his wife was, because being in therapy was the equivalent of being in a loony bin, not getting help.
Right.
It was more of a place to store people to get them out of other people's hair than what it was to solve anything, really.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a very negative stigma to have in your household. It was bad on your name. It was all kinds of stuff. So, but while B was away at the second facility where she had to stay, dogs started to go missing from the neighborhood.
He's stepping his game up.
Hot dogs. Get your hot dogs.
But this didn't happen for very long. Tags. The dogs didn't go missing for very long because Richie actually learned how to hunt on his own out in the woods. So in his adventures in the woods, he would catch birds and rabbits. And he didn't want to torture them. He only wanted to explore them.
I love how you put it as adventures. It's adventures. Like it was Lee's Peter Pan. The demon version.
And welcome to another edition of Dog Mutilation. Adventures in Dog Mutilation.
He did, however, feel like a god, knowing he could let these animals live or take their lives.
You know, dog, God backwards is dog, right?
Dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, that's what you want your kid to think about. Boy, I can really be
God. Like he's got a real dogma complex there.
Richie also became obsessed with fire. So he figured out that if he hung out with the older kids, he could get matches from them. And then when he realized how easy it was to obtain matches, he started just buying them, and he would stash them everywhere. He'd keep them in his pockets. He kept them in the woods. He kept them in hiding places under his mattress where his mom wouldn't find them when she was cleaning.
Sounds like a real pyro.
Yeah. No. And so he just started lighting fires, small fires out in the woods, but this helped cleanse him. The fires helped curb his rage, and it felt like they were just, the flames just washed everything away.
Can I just, I got a visual on this, and probably only one of you will get it, but as soon as you said that, I was like, I imagined a guy hanging with a sign on it that said, man burner and horse thief.
My God, Woodrow, it's been one hell of a party.
So B started to lose her grip on sanity again. And she was boasting to a neighbor about being a battered wife and that her son was a monster. And because it's,
I'm sure that was a wonderful conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So she like, so my, you know, my husband is beating the shit out of me and my kid is like the devil. And the neighbor's like,
I would just like to make a point of order here that when you feel like you're losing your grip, you probably never fucking had it.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of a, you know, it's a non-starter. I don't think you ever fucking had it. So
you walk a thin line.
And that is not a sexist remark. That is universal, just because we happen to be talking about his wife at the moment.
Yes.
Poor Beatrice.
So this is late 1950s, early 1960s, housewife era. And what does one housewife say to another housewife?
Can I borrow a cup of sugar?
No, what every other housewife in the neighborhood has told them. So rumors started to fly. And Richard Sr. ended up losing his job because of the rumors.
Oh, my gentle Jesus.
Yes.
That's good news.
And he had already been basically on probation with the company because of Bee's actions before when she was stalking him at work. So they weren't going to do this. Now, his reputation was completely tarnished because they thought he was a wife beater and his wife was nuts. So this caused them to live outside their means. Because of these rumors, Richard couldn't get another high-paying job. He had to do unskilled labor, and they were starting to just demolish through their savings.
Fucking Karen.
Mm-hmm. So this caused the fighting at worse, or at home, to get way worse. And Richie, his favorite spot actually wasn't in the woods, and it wasn't out walking the neighborhood. It was in the garden, because in his garden, he was still close to home, but he couldn't hear the screaming from inside, and it was just a nice, quiet place. That was until one of the neighbors decided that he was going to start working on cars in his garage and listening to the radio. And the radio wasn't necessarily actually really loud, but it was loud enough that it was disturbing Richie. So Richie decided that he was going to take a bunch of paint thinner out of the garage, and he poured it between the two houses and lit that part of the grass on fire, which ultimately caused the side of the garage that the neighbor was working in to catch fire. The neighbor realized that something was wrong.
Yeah.
He flew out of the garage, realized that the hose hadn't started to melt or burn up yet, so he put out the fire, and then he grabbed Richie by the ear and drug him to his front door. He banged on the front door, and unfortunately for Richie, it was Richard Sr. who answered. The first thing that Richard Sr. said was, "What did you do?" He pulled Richie inside the house and backhanded him so hard that it sent the boy across the room and knocked him out.
Does that seem justified to anybody else when he just about burned down the neighborhood?
No, more good news for people who like bad news.
So the neighbor stood there
with Jack Candy.
The neighbor stood there explaining what happened, and as every time that Richie could like come to or gain his ground, or he started to say something, Richard would slap him again. After the neighbor left and Richie opened his mouth to try to explain, Richard beat Richie so bad that he didn't wake up until the next afternoon.
Wow. Fuck. Yeah, he's probably fine. Probably good. It's probably all right. Totally, yeah, he'll totally bounce back. Rub some dirt on it.
Yeah. Obviously, the Chase family had to pay for the damages to the neighbor's garage, which completely wiped out the last of their savings and caused the family to have to move. And they ended up back in another one-bedroom apartment in the middle of Sacramento. And Richie lost all of his outlets that kept him calm.
I wish we had a drop that played "Moving On Up."
I'm seriously in this moment going, you know, I think a 24-hour nap would have been okay compared to watching the trailer three fucking times. But, you know. No.
I don't think it was a nap. I think it was a tiny coma.
Yeah.
Still wasn't watching that fucking trailer.
Okay. Heard up.
Oh, so, boy. Because of the move, Richard and Bee blamed everything on Richie. They were really just
berating sick of his him. Shit.
Well, yeah, but berating him with the fact that it was his fault that they had to move. It was his fault that they were in this new place. And just basically, you know, telling him that he was a piece of shit and everything was his fault. Yeah, but with the move, Richie started going by Rick, because when he started going to the new school, that's what everybody started calling him. So he's now moved up a little bit in the name department. He's not a little boy anymore.
He got rid of the Jerry Curl and the really high-pitched boys.
So Richard Sr. and B ended up separating. And
took him long enough for fun.
Yeah, that should have been to take care of that a long time ago, really. I mean, nip that.
Oh, yeah, wait, it gets better.
I know.
Rick, Pamela, and B moved in with B's mother. And everyone at Rick's school got really worried because, like, where the hell did he go? Nobody said anything. Like, they knew family life was troubled. So they were actually seriously worried. A couple of people showed up and asked, where the hell is Rick? And Richard let them know, you know, hey, listen, we've separated. He's going to a different school. They've moved across town, that kind of stuff. Well, unfortunately for Rick, Richard and B started courting each other again, because apart, they realized
wrong. I don't want to be right.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, they were apart. The fighting stopped.
They've never done that.
Where's my rim shot? Damn it.
If I'm going to be miserable, I want to do it with you, baby.
I know you're crazy, but you fuck so good. I'm on top of it.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no.
So the family ended up moving back into the one-bedroom apartment. And Rick turned into a bit of a rebel. And the girls started to notice him more.
And ended up being Rick Ashley. End of story. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down.
So Rick made it very clear to the girls that were interested in him, and that he actually took an interest back in, that he was only interested in a relationship that would result in sex. So if that wasn't something that they wanted, they parted ways amicably, and they actually most of the time remained friends, and Rick didn't ever start rumors about him. He didn't ever do anything bad. He just, you know, like, hey, that's not what I want. So this isn't going to work out.
At least better than being a lying bastard.
Yep.
Straight up.
Yep.
I give him that.
So he did end up getting there with two of the girls that he dated. And, you know, it's teenage, try not to get caught. So clothes never came off. It was just kind of fumbling in the dark type of stuff. Unfortunately for Rick, he couldn't keep an erection long enough to climax.
Well, at least he never got anybody pregnant then, right?
Exactly. Rick, however, wasn't ashamed of this. He apologized to the girls and broke things off. He was, however, confused, because when he was killing the animals or starting fires, he didn't even have to touch himself to finish. But with a girl, he couldn't get there.
Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. I was going to ask.
Go for it. Ask is ask.
Did he last long enough for them to finish? Because if he did, why is he apologizing to him?
No, he didn't last long enough for them to finish.
This is the era where we don't care about if they get to finish, Matt.
Exactly.
Oh, exactly. Okay, fair enough.
We're still early 60s here.
Well, I was still talking about Olymp Dick Rick.
So, with the confusion and that kind of stuff and all of the shit going on at home, Rick started drinking. If he couldn't afford the booze, he would go into neighbors' houses that were left unlocked, and he would just lift some bottles.
I was going to say, it was the 60s. Like, everybody had, like, the pantries were full of, like, bourbon back then.
Doors were left unlocked.
Yep.
Doors were just left unlocked. So, one neighbor did catch Rick in the middle of being in the house, stealing a bottle. Nothing happened. Neighbor took Rick home, was like, hey, this is what happened. Richard
obviously did what Richard does and
beat the shit out of him.
Basically, yeah. So, yeah, that didn't do anything to curb Rick's shrinking, but the family, Richard Sr. was able to finally find a better job, and the family was able to move into a bigger place. So Rick ended up getting his own room again. And about this time, the alcohol actually stopped working to curb Rick's macabre and bizarre thoughts. So, naturally, he turned to drugs. And he smoked a shit ton of weed and moved up to LSD.
That's going to be a drop. Oh, shit, load of weed.
Mm-hmm. I think the weed probably would have helped if it didn't escalate into, you know.
Psychosis.
Yeah. He did get caught on his way home. We'll get into that in just a second. Thanks to Rick's mother, Rick always had fears about his health, and now he had fears about his erectile dysfunction, and he thought people were poisoning him and all of this other stuff. So the LSD did help him mentally, but severed his connection with the real world.
Sounds like it was pretty much severed anyway, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't a strong connection to begin with.
No. Rick was arrested for possession. He had so much weed on him that they got him with a distribution charge. But this was really just how much weed he smoked in between visits to his dealer.
Wow. And then they lock him up for life, and that's the end of the story, right?
So wish.
The only thing so far in this story that I hope to achieve is smoking that much weed.
I'm picturing like an army duffel bag full of buds. What are you getting for distribution? It was like a fucking hay bale full of.
So this was the beginning of the hippie movement. And basically he was given a slap on the wrist. He was sentenced to community service.
And so he just said, okay, well, just show me what you want me to burn down and tell me what dogs you want me to kill.
Yeah. So with Rick slipping up, Richard's beatings of him became worse. Richard also cut off any funds to Rick. And he was caught stealing another bottle of whiskey from a neighbor. He was arrested again, but was also given a slap on the wrist for this offense. They didn't even add to his community service for this.
When I was young.
So Rick graduated high school, but he had a couple of C's and D's, mostly F's. I don't know how the hell he graduated. Maybe it was different then. I don't really know, because if I had an F, I sure the fuck couldn't graduate.
I bet they wanted him the fuck out.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like, no, just let him go. Get him.
He was actually really good in school. He got along great with the teachers and that kind of stuff. He was just slipping up.
I bet they felt bad for him. Just like
he smoked so much weed, he forgot to do his homework.
I can tell you that I tested really well. I just never did homework.
Yeah,
I wasn't a big fan.
Rick was given a couple of options. He could get a job and start helping out around the house. You know, with finances and that kind of stuff, or he could go to college, which basically daddy would pay for. So Rick decided that he was going to go to college, and he moved into a dorm. And while he was there, he started seeing a psychiatrist.
Good call.
The psychiatrist helped Rick uncover that ED is often caused by suppressed anger. He also felt that Rick was angry at women because of his mother and suggested that maybe he repair that relationship before it got so bad that he hated all women.
Run away. Run away. cut ties and run.
Rick told the therapist that he appreciated the recommendation and he left.
And then he set the building on fire.
He He did not pursue the therapy any further or recommendations about his recommendations about repairing his relationship with his mother, and his hypochondria worsened. Rick's parents split again, but remained within close living distance to each other, and the kids could easily bus back and forth. The kids were given the option of where they wanted to live, and Pamela went with Richard Sr., and Rick decided that he was going to stay with Bea because she would be all alone. She put him on a really big guilt trip. You know, the kind of stuff that seems pretty relevant to who she is at this point.
I'm really concerned.
Sounds like Bea is a big old Bea.
Exactly. You seem to know this person well enough that now you're just calling her Bea. I'm troubled by that.
I read a really big book.
I mean, so far, that's the one thing that's like, I'm concerned here.
Well, I read a really big book. I spent a lot of time with this woman over the last week.
The movie Psycho really nailed it with the whole mommy issues, as so many of these go.
Yeah.
Yes. So, with the separation this time, and Rick staying with Beatrice, Richard Sr. saw the error of his ways, and because he really finally started to see Rick, and that Rick was more of a sensitive person who really just wanted everybody else to be okay, and Richard realized that this is a strength in my son, not a weakness, and I've been trying to beat this out of him his whole life, when really I should have been nurturing this, because that probably would have made him a better person.
Kind of a little late.
A little late. Yeah. A little late at this point. I think Rick's like 19 at this point. So Richard Sr. did start working really hard towards making amends with his son. And Rick was going over and talking with his dad every day. They were hanging out. They were spending a lot of time. Richard was finally teaching him how to do things. Like working with his hands and do things around the house and that kind of stuff. Beatrice, on the other hand, only got worse. She resented that the kids were starting to have a good relationship with their father.
Oh, no.
And she was also able to reconvince Rick that his father was poisoning him.
She rickrolled Rick.
Mm-hmm.
There can be only one.
Though with Rick's hypochondria, his mind didn't stop there. He convinced himself that all food was poisoned, so he stopped eating. And he was also convinced that the soap dishes, like in the shower, in the kitchen, that kind of stuff, that they were also poisoned. So he quit bathing.
All right, we've just reached a new level of fucked up.
A new level. You don't know anything yet, my man. There's going to be a point in this story where you are going to leave. I know it.
Because he was starving himself, he was getting very weak. So naturally, he believed his heart was shrinking and would continue to shrink until it vanished completely.
He's going
to
turn into the fucking Grinch? That's what
he's
telling me.
Anti-Grinch. He's going back.
So this explained everything. His weakness, his inability to love, his ED, everything. That's where Rick went. It dawned on Rick that the only way he could ever have been poisoned and the only way he could still be getting poisoned was by his mother. Naturally. She was the only one who was consistently there. So Rick stood looking in the mirror at his mother's house, and he started to scream, which caused his mother to run into the bathroom to see what was wrong. Somehow Rick managed to regain enough strength to tackle her into the doorframe and choke her, all while he was still screaming. Sanity returned, and he let her go.
Did it.
For a brief fleeting moment, sanity returned enough for him to release his hands from his mother's neck.
It was just a different level of batshit.
Yes.
He's going to regret that moment in the future. He's going to be like, I could have ended it right fucking there.
Okay, so looking back, I mean, as this story will progress.
Looking back at me.
Had he not woke up from this tiny coma he was in, is his dad an asshole or a hero?
I'm going to go hero.
If he had not woken up, his dad would have been a hero.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Richard Sr. was called to come get Rick. He was going to go live with his father until he could get on his feet. At Rick
or a children's home, it's all good.
Well, he wasn't a child anymore. He wasn't a minor anymore. At Richard Sr.'s, he started to bathe and eat. He started doing the shopping, and he ended up running into some old friends from his school when they lived in the house in Sacramento, and found a room with two of them. Now, this was two females, which gave Richard Sr. pause, but he was like, you know what? It's the 60s now. Mm-hmm. Go do your thing.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. So now we're at Three's Company, and
Mr. Roper.
Come and knock on my door.
We're going to go through all of them today. All the sitcom songs.
Rick's dad covered everything for him. All he had to do was take care of himself and try for a normal life.
Wow.
He still feels bad about knocking his ass out for 24 hours.
Yeah. I bet you won't be shocked to find out that Rick failed miserably.
Yeah.
So at this point, Rick starts speaking to himself. And not just speaking to himself. I mean, speaking to himself in a language that only he can understand.
Like Klingon or some shit.
Yeah, it's very strange.
I believe it's pronounced batshit.
He would make strange whining noises, like a dog just crying at a door. He was non-responsive. He smelled bad, to the point that, like, the windows in the house that they were living in needed to be opened and left open no matter the weather.
I can't understand. If you're living with two women, how do you even, like, even if it was a day where I was just lounging and wasn't doing anything, I'd be like, I probably still ought to take a shower. I haven't done anything.
Tommy Lee, I get it, but
You have your sanity. And he also kept odd hours, like he had no concept of time. The girls began to fear for their own well-being because Rick started to become obsessed with conspiracy theories. He started hoarding books and magazines on Atlantis, on Hollow Earth, the alien abductions, secret experiments, Nazi holdovers, and he also kept medical textbooks.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
No.
His life was ruled by fear, which at this point, we already know. So he did what any rational person would do, and he went and bought his first gun, which was a .22 caliber pistol, and he carried it with him everywhere. It was his safety blanket.
That's a weak-ass safety blanket.
Yes. He would do things. So the two women that he lived with stopped inviting people over because every time that they would, Rick would come down and he would hover and just stand there, and he would do all of these things that he was doing. He'd talk to himself, make the weird noises, and
was he practicing quick draws and spinning or anything like a cowboy?
Not yet. So it just got awkward for them, and they didn't feel like they could have anyone over, so they would just go out to parties or whatever, but they wouldn't bring anybody home. So Rick got to the point where he began boarding himself into his closet to sleep. Mm-hmm. But then he became convinced that there was a secret passage into the closet through a tunnel, and he was being poisoned when the Nazi party would come up through the tunnel and into the closet at night and poison him. Or gas him and then poison him, and then they would close the secret door and seal it so he could never find it. So
these guys not getting here? Like leprechaun Nazis?
Yes.
See, now you get it. See, he's on board. It's definitely what's happening.
So then he boarded up the closet from the outside and all of his windows, and he boarded himself into the room.
Now he's safe.
Yeah.
All good now.
So the house, his housemates hadn't seen him for a little while, and they have been, this house is actually rather large, especially for just the three people living there. So they had been getting all of these comments from people on campus and that kind of stuff. Like, why don't you guys ever throw a party? You have this perfect house for parties and you won't. Well, they got tired of being questioned about it. So they decided that they were going to throw a party.
You want to know why? You're going to find out why.
Yeah. Yeah, here you go.
And all I hear is iced tea. Emo! Death!
So this actually lured Rick out. He was social. He drank, but in moderation. He turned down a joint. And he was actually doing really, really well. Like, he was pleasant to be around. Some of his jokes were kind of off color, but nobody really said anything about it. You know, they were just, whatever, okay, great. This seems like the old Rick. But then a couple of guests left, and Rick opened the window and he yelled, "Yeah, you better run," jokingly, right? Which would have been okay, would have been totally okay had he stopped there. But instead
dance,
of stopping there,
gotta dance,
but instead of stopping there, he pulled his gun and waved it out the window. This was the last straw for his roommates.
Yeah. It's kind of not cool.
That was the last straw.
Yeah, that's the one.
They sat him down and told him they were afraid of him and he needed to move. When they told him that he needed to move, this was what really bothered Rick, because every time that they had told him that something was bothering them, he would do his best to stop doing that. That's why he started boarding himself up in his room. That was when he came down to the party. He was social.
These women are unpleasable.
Yeah. So he really just didn't get it.
God, if you would have just told me not to wave a gun at somebody, I wouldn't have done it.
I don't know why you didn't tell me that.
Yeah. But instead of leaving, he did what he always did when he was put in a situation he didn't feel comfortable in, and he shut himself into his room. So the girls decided...
At least the dogs and cats are safe when he's locked up in there. I mean...
Exactly. Exactly. So the girls decided, you know what? We're not going to push this. We know he's got a gun. We're not going to do this anymore. He's still on the lease.
Ricky's
so we're okay. And they left.
No.
So they moved out. They went and got rooms in the dorm. And everything was fine. Rick didn't even know that they were gone until he decided to come out of his room one day. And when he realized that he had the house to himself, you know, he went even crazier.
Oh, boy.
Not like Home Alone crazy either.
No. Mm-mm. So... when Rick was all alone, he started using drugs again in full force. And naturally, his hypochondria came back with it. And when the landlord contacted Rick's father to try and figure out what was going on, Rick's father had no idea that the girls had moved out. So Richard Sr. and the landlord went to the house, and it took both of them to break into Rick's room to get him out. And when they did finally get in there, Rick hadn't eaten and he was just skin and bone. Like, he looked like a corpse.
And then he died. End of the story, right?
Yeah, I so wish. I wish so very much.
We're going to have a new king of the hill. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now after this.
God damn it, Bobby. You ain't eating. You look like a corpse.
So Rick moved back in with Richard Sr., and Richard Sr. did his best to keep Rick active because it seemed like he used less drugs and was less inside his own head when he was busy doing things. And
to quote
our father who art in Mexico, you got to keep kids busy to keep them off drugs.
Yep.
So he started giving him jobs like doing some joining and fixing little things around the house. So like if a table was wobbly, he would have Rick fix it so that it wasn't wobbly anymore. And Rick was actually really, really good at this kind of stuff. And Richard Senior thought, well, you could probably go out and get a job doing this. So he talked to Rick about it. Really, really bad idea.
Handyman with a van.
So Rick flew off the handle and told him, you know, like, I'm just barely getting back to a good weight. I'm just barely getting healthy enough where I can stand up for more than 10 minutes at a time, that kind of stuff. So Richard Sr. didn't push the issue. And it about a month after living there, Rick finally decided that he wanted something. He was finally going to ask for one thing, the only thing that he's ever asked for in his whole life. He really wanted a car. And Richard Sr. was like, you don't need a car. Like, what the hell do you need a car for? They bickered back and forth over this for a long time. And finally, Richard Sr. said, okay, here's the deal. I will buy you a car, but you have to get a job so that you can hold the insurance and pay for the fuel. Rick wasn't having it.
No.
Wow.
So
are you getting any flashbacks to any other characters?
My friend's got a son and he hates that, Rick.
Yeah.
I don't know why any of you girls.
So naturally this floored Rick, and he didn't need a job. His dad provided enough funds for the things he wanted, and his mother provided him his hot meals.
I don't need a job. My daddy take care of me.
Mm-hmm. Well, Richard couldn't take how pathetic his son was, and his anger came out in the form of finalizing the divorce from Beatrice. So these two were still married.
Wow.
And
can't let it go.
This was kind of the nail in the coffin for Rick, because he always thought that his parents were going to end up getting back together, but with Richard sealing the divorce, that was
honey,
over.
We are never, ever, ever getting back together.
Oh God, I hate you so much right now.
It was there. I had to do it.
Yeah. Well placed. Well placed. So Richard and Rick started arguing over everything, like everything, whether it was a non-issue or not. It was just, it was something that they were going to fight about. So Richard decided that it was time to send Rick back to Beatrice until their tempers could cool off. And Rick's arrival back at Beatrice's house was welcomed by his mother, but not his little sister. His little sister found him very spooky. He looked like a cadaver. He threw tantrums. He would lie face.
Hang on.
He looked like a dick.
That's what I was like, whoa, hey, don't just step past that. That's pretty good.
He would lie face down on the floor, moaning and groaning. He would speak in a language only he understood. He would hiss and he would grunt and he would squeal and he would scream. And that scared the shit out of his sister to the point where she actually ran away.
Rightfully so.
Yes. Beatrice, being the person that she is.
B.
That's a real big
B.
Yeah. She obviously placated Rick on all of his health concerns. She actually fed into them, and she would also rush him to the emergency room every time he said something was wrong.
Yeah, but isn't part of it's her fault anyway, like fueling the fire in his head with the, yeah.
Oh, yes. The doctors told her psychiatric evaluation was recommended, but she wouldn't take him because she had had that happen to her and it didn't do anything. Rick suffered from severe headaches. He thought it was his bones grinding together. And Beatrice fueled this even further by telling him she never thought his skull had fully fused when he was a baby.
I think his father unfused it from this. That's what happened.
So to prove to everyone that he was not lying, Rick shaved his head. And he would stand in the mirror for hours and hours on end, watching his head.
Staring at himself, going,
"You talking to me?
Quit looking at me, swan."
So he could see the plate.
See if it move.
Rubbing together. Yes. Yeah. Which started a whole new string of hospital visits.
I'm going to guarantee you, even if, okay, you'd have to be batshit to do that in the first place, but even if you're not crazy, if you did stare at your head for like hours and hours and hours, you'd be like, "I think it moved."
Yeah.
Justification.
Eventually, you're going to see what you want to see,
yeah,
right?
Something's going to happen, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Rick obviously couldn't couldn't differentiate between reality and fantasy, or fantasy and dreams.
Cuckoo.
And
cuckoo. It's going to roll a d20.
Yeah.
Oh, so, no, there, his head moved.
From dreams, he started taking on the personas of the people that he dreamed that he was. And because he couldn't separate that this was fantasy from reality, he would go in and out of himself and these other personas.
It's all coming together. It's all coming together now.
Yeah. So B realized that the living situation was bad for everyone. So she loaned him her car and gave him the little bit of money that she had saved so he could go on a road trip to find himself.
What the fuck? Just pack your bags. Pack for warm or cold. I don't give a fuck. Just get out.
See you
take
later.
Take my car. Take my money. Fuck off.
And why am I seeing Johnny Depp in a convertible right now?
Don't stop here. It's backcountry. Wait till that fucker sees the bats.
Nobody heard from Rick for weeks. And Richard Sr. actually had no fucking clue that his son was gone.
With a trunk full of mescaline.
Yeah. That was until he came home one day to his phone ringing. And on the other end of the line was a penitentiary officer from Utah.
Utah.
Utah. Rick had been arrested for drinking and driving. The car was impounded, and he was placed in solitary confinement because his behavior disturbed the other inmates.
Cuckoo! Cuckoo!
Okay, I kind of get that, because I'd be scared as shit if I got arrested and got thrown in the pen, and I would act like an insane son of a bitch, too. Like, you better be afraid of me.
Here we go. Matt's laying up his ass again.
I'm terrified. I did not. You're jumping ahead of... What up? Thanks.
So Beatrice's car had been impounded, and Richard Sr. he drove the 12 hours and he paid all of the fines and everything else for Rick to be released to him, and he drove Rick home.
There's just no repercussions for this kid. Like, none. No. This is like...
You want to know the repercussion on this 12-hour drive home? Richard Sr. and Rick didn't say one word to each other.
So it was pleasant.
Exactly. It was just a silent drive.
I've made one of those.
12-hour one?
A silent drive?
11 hours.
Wow.
10 and a half, actually.
Wow. That's a... I can't even do that driving by myself.
Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I sing, not talk to myself, but...
the only conversation...
How do you feel about that, Lindy?
The only conversation that happens...
I love long road trips by myself. That's like a concert.
The only conversation...
That I give to myself.
The only conversation that happened on that was when we stopped to buy me a pair of work boots, and it was, do those fit? Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So Rick started claiming that he was gassed in prison and that they performed surgery on him while he was unconscious.
Naturally. That's what they do there. In the drunk tank. It wasn't even prison. Yeah.
No, he was actually in the penitentiary.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Yeah. Once he was home, arguments with his mother just escalated. And one night, Rick was invited to a gathering at a friend's house. Trigger warning for everyone.
As soon as you said gathering, everybody should have thought it was a trigger warning in the first
place. Yeah. Rick came to the gathering with some liquor, and he interacted in a mostly normal way. The little group of four ended up running out of beer, so there were the four people there. There was one girl, Rick, and then two guys, the two guys that lived in the apartment. Well, the two guys ran on a beer run.
B-double-E-double-R-U-N.
Beer run. I wrote that in just because I knew you guys were going to do that. So this left Rick and the girl alone together.
Oh, boy.
Rick climbed onto the sofa with her and grabbed her breast with both hands. How's he doing? She told him no, but he didn't seem to hear her, is what she said.
Is that how it works?
Yeah. So she pushed him
on
the couch.
No doesn't mean give up. No means find another way.
Yeah. Yeah. In this case, that's what it meant. She pushed him off the couch, which got him to stop, but then a pathetic chase around the apartment ensued.
But a chase.
Well done.
And this I'm continued.
I'm picturing the hallway with like fucking Scooby-Doo, or they're coming in one, coming out the other.
this continued until the other two got back and they intervened. Yikes. They asked Rick to leave, and he screamed, "Nobody has the right to tell me where to go. This is America. I'm free to go where I want and do what I want."
America is what he said. He said, yeah. America.
They argued for an hour before Rick grabbed his things and left, slamming the door.
He argued for an hour about that. Nobody could tell him to leave and be like, "Screw you guys, I'm going to."
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
Nobody got up and locked the door after Rick left. So 2 minutes later, Rick let himself back in and started creeping towards the room where the girl was.
Of course he did.
Cuckoo. He was intercepted by one of the guys had gone into the room with the girl to try and comfort. Well, they had both gone towards the room to try and comfort her.
Sure they had.
But one of the guys was sitting there with her, and the other guy was like standing in the door, like leaning in the door. And so he saw Rick come back in, and Rick made the excuse that he had forgot his cigarettes, and that's why he was back. But then they started to argue some more. And the one guy that came out to try and figure out why the hell Rick was back realized that this guy isn't going to be able to stand up to me in a physical fight. So they got into a physical fight, and a couple minutes in to the physical fight, Rick's .22 fell out of his waistband. Rick didn't realize that the gun had fallen out, but the other guy, the one that wasn't fighting with Rick, saw it and grabbed the gun and hit it. Rick started screaming, you know, whatever, blah, 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 call the cops. So the two guys that lived in the apartment ended up calling the cops, and so did some neighbors that heard what was going on. And so Rick was hauled away. Richard Sr. bailed him out again.
Jesus, let him fucking marinate for a bit. Son of a...
Yes, the two guys in the apartment realized that Rick was going through some things, and they didn't want him to get into any more trouble, so they didn't turn in the gun.
I'd keep it on hand in case the fucker comes back.
Right. After he was bailed out, he was taken back to his mother's, and it was decided that Rick would go to L.A. to stay with his grandmother.
This is where it gets good.
We're almost done with episode one, guys. Hang in there with me. Just a couple more minutes.
Episode two is going to be a rough one, motherfuckers.
Yeah. So Richard's grandmother operated a school for developmentally challenged children, and as soon as Rick got there, she put him to work driving the school bus.
Why the fuck wasn't this kid with her his whole life? She is what he needed.
She would not allow him to be...
Was it a short bus?
Yeah.
Not only did he rent it, he drove it.
I'm the king of the world.
Rick's grandma wouldn't allow him to be lazy or useless. And Rick actually did a really good job for about 3 days.
3 whole days?
Yeah. But then he got complaints from the parents of the children that he was unkempt and he stunk. And he wasn't keeping to the schedule. So he would pick up some kids early and pick up some kids late. And then one day, while everybody was at school, Rick's hypochondria came back into effect and he left and with the bus and took it to a hospital claiming that his pulmonary artery had been removed.
He's just hanging on by a thread then. Yeah, it's just barely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So well,
give the boy a crackle shake and give me some fries.
The hospital did realize that Rick was under extreme mental duress, so they actually prescribed him some medication, like some antidepressant type medication, and to help him, to help his heart rate calm down, to help his, you know, try and help his mind. But his uncle showed up at the hospital, picked up Rick and the bus, and didn't ever pick up the medication.
I don't need that shit. What do those doctors know?
His grandmother would not tolerate Rick's hypochondria. She had dealt with it with Beatrice for Beatrice's whole life, and she was just like, nope, fuck this, we're not doing this. He sent her back to Beatrice. She sent her back to Beatrice.
I have one question.
One?
We've been in this for an hour. An hour. And I just found out that he actually has a living grandmother and an uncle.
Yes.
Where the fuck were these people his whole life?
Well, he went to live with his grandma when his parents separated the first time.
Oh, I must have missed that part. Sorry.
Yeah. He should have stayed.
Continue. Sorry.
So, in December. Never mind.
In summary.
Cuckoo. Cuckoo. In December 1973, Rick went to American River Hospital claiming somebody stole his pulmonary artery yet again.
Oh, yeah. Both
God
of them.
Damn it, I just got that thing back.
I took my spare.
Medical staff knew something was wrong with the man. Obviously not that his pulmonary artery was missing, but that something was wrong with this man.
How many years of schooling did they need to figure that part out?
Right?
I said it. King of the tongue popping my head. Something about detachable penis, but let's put in.
Save that for later.
Oh, Lindy. Oh, boy.
So they did. That's they rough. Did a thorough exam of Rick. And Rick explained everything that he knew was wrong with him and ended up getting himself committed to the psych ward.
End of story. Died in the psych ward?
Yeah. I wish. Well, as the array of drug chemicals in his system cleared out, Rick started doing better and was able to manipulate Beatrice into checking him out.
It was a What About Bob moment where it's like, roses are red, violets are blue. I'm a hypochondriac, and so am I. All the orderlies are rolling. This guy's hilarious. Let him go. He ain't crazy. He's fine.
On Rick's way out, the doctor caught him and told Rick, within earshot of Beatrice, you need to stay off the drugs because this is really what's kicking your hypochondria into full effect. This is why you're having all of this. If you were to stay away from the drugs, you'd probably be okay.
I don't like drugs, but the drugs like me.
Yeah. So Rick was shuffled back and forth between his parents' houses so he could be watched constantly. And in this, he ended up having a dream that he was one of the younger brothers of the younger brothers, which is their two brothers that were in Jesse James's gang. And he took on this persona. The brother that he had dreamt that he was the violent brother. So both parents had to deal with Rick going in and out of being this brother and Rick, and the wave of stuff that happened in between when Rick was one of the younger brothers and when he was himself was super bad.
You're good, Ash. I'm bad, Ash.
So did he get a book on the James Younger gang or some shit? Just happened to be Jesse James' younger brother, the bad one.
He, in all of his book hoarding, he did get magazines on history.
Ooh.
So I'm assuming that he must have read about the Old West and that kind of stuff in that time. Hmm. Well, one day, unbeknownst to Rick's parents, he was able to slip away and he filed for Social Security. But in order to have it granted, he would need a physical exam to prove that he couldn't work. And Rick really rehearsed what was needed to be said to this doctor. So he answered all of the doctor's questions and the, you know, like really, really well. And the doctor did say he was neurotic, but not insane. And his physical deterioration made him incapable of holding a job. So now Rick's got a secret source of income. And he decided that he needed to be healthy. So he started to cook for himself so that nobody could poison the food.
Oh, yeah.
And he would, in order to consume things more directly, he would take, he would get oranges for breakfast and he would take them. And he would smash the orange slices against his head so that he could brain was absorbing the vitamin from the oranges.
This is a real bright kid.
Very logical.
And if he would get himself a drink, he would pour dish soap into it to cleanse them in case somebody had contaminated them. And he also started talking out loud to develop his telepathic abilities because now he believes that he has telepathy.
How else are you supposed to do that?
Localize your dreams.
Rick also started to believe that the air became contaminated when he read an article in a magazine. So he demanded that Beatrice get him an oxygen tent to sleep in.
Oh my God.
And when she declined him because...
Give those away.
Yeah. When she declined him because those were extremely expensive, he...
I'm going to need an iron lung.
Yeah.
I just see John Travolta and Jake Gyllenhaal in the same moment. I'm sorry.
So keep in mind now, Rick's been cooking for himself, so his body's becoming stronger. He's actually got some weight nutrients behind him now. And when Beatrice declined him the tent, he slapped her to the floor. Like, so basically he kicked the shit out of her. Mm-hmm. And then he just didn't say anything to her and he went about his day. But when
nothing to say. She done been told.
She's been told.
I'm not gonna do it twice.
When he came home, his things were packed and his father was waiting in the house for him. And his father was the only one there.
I learned it by watching you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So the parents had decided that Rick needed to live on his own now, but they were going to pay for all of his expenses.
God, what a rough, rough childhood and upbringing this fella's had. I mean, everything's
Long as he stays off the drugs.
We'll pay for everything. We're not giving you any incentive whatsoever to stay off those drugs. We'll pay for everything so you don't have to work. What will you do when you're bored? What year is this? There's not even an Atari yet, is there?
No, this is 1976, I think.
This guy's screwed. It's just local people.
Because
We might have had Pong at that point.
Because I'm going to keep all of the really, really, really bad stuff for the second episode, this is where we're going to stop for today.
And the summary of this first episode is one word.
Cuckoo! Cuckoo! Now all I can think of is, I'm really sorry, everybody, The Sound of Music, where it's they're singing that song.
Which one?
Coming out to say cuckoo, cuckoo.
I don't know what you're. I don't even know what you're on about. I've never watched that.
I know all about it.
Yeah, there's a spot where the kids are singing a song, and she's the little girl's talking about the clock, and that's what she sings.
Okay.
So every time you say cuckoo, that's what pops
that's what hits
in
your
head.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Or related
well, nicely done on part one there, Lindy.
Christopher Thank Waltz you. When he's cuckoo.
And I knew. And I did know about this story, but you went way more in depth than anything I've ever heard before. So I like that.
I took out as much detail as I possibly could. And this is still 30 pages.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And we're exactly halfway through right now. So the next episode will be about this long. Well, no, it's not. The episode's going to be longer because the guys are going to have to add levity to the next one.
Okay.
Because the next one's bad. I'm really sorry.
I feel like it's going to be me and Lindy in the room by ourselves for a little bit on that one, too.
Probably. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. So.
I'll go get some graham crackers.
Good luck with that.
Well, thank you, Lindy. Thank you guys again for tuning in. And continue to like, rate, and review the podcast. Remember, you can get all the video episodes exclusively on Spotify. It's free. You just have to download the app.
Please do. It's better than, vastly superior to all other podcast players.
Yeah, it makes these other three really happy when you like, rate, and review. I could give a shit less. I'm just.
Then what he means by that is he makes him extremely happy as well.
Well, yes.
I might touch myself later, but you know.
So you're just doing a world of good.
All right, guys. That's it for this week. Until next week, I'm Zach.
Spar.
Lindy.
I am AB Popsicle. Okay, I love you. Bye-bye.
Later.
Later.
Bye.
It's evil! Don't watch it!
I watch with you.
They're coming to get you.
By the power of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
What's my line, Zach? What's my line?